coroner, please rise for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America,
to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Lisa, roll call, please.
Mr. Kriebel?
Here.
Mr. Landgraf?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman?
Here. Pursuant to the Open Public Meeting Act, adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. Okay, for the first thing on our, we do not have any presentations tonight. First thing on our agenda will be two department heads, our police chief and our fire chief. So we're gonna start with Chief Cahill, our fire chief, and he will give us his 2020 report.
All right. The Ventnor City Fire Department emergency responses for 2020 were as follows. We responded to 570 alarms of fire, 881 responses to other emergencies, 1,204 emergency medical responses, totaling 3,105 responses for the year. We had a lot of major changes and actions during the year, and I'm going to hit some of the high notes here. The construction of Station 2 was completed on July 1st, and the new station was opened and operating on July 6th with the official dedication in October. We hired three new firefighters in February. They were trained in a joint fire academy with the Brigantine Fire Department. The in-house training of these members and the three members from Brigantine was completed utilizing Ventnor certified training officers and was completed in 7 weeks. The in-house training allowed these members to become certified 2 months ahead of the county training class and resulted in a large savings of short shift overtime. The department completed the specifications for a new Quint apparatus, which is a combination ladder and pumper, and received that unit in late December. The new Quint allows the Ventnor Fire Department to retire an engine that was purchased in 1987 and was well past its prime. The new vehicle now allows the placement of an aerial ladder on both sides of the bridge and doubles the capabilities of the VCFD at large fire incidents. The city will also earn additional points on our next ISO, our insurance rating certification inspection. These additional points allow for the reduction in policy costs when benchmarks are reached. Ventnor currently is rated at level 2, which is very, very impressive for a department and a city our size. The department working in conjunction with the recreation department and the police department purchased new defibrillators for all first responder vehicles and upgraded those units mounted in public buildings and venues. This program will continue until all city defibrillators have been upgraded. The fire department coordinated an EMT program with the Beach Patrol in 2020 to address the issues of EMS during the pandemic. The department trained and equipped a 2-member team of EMTs that were assigned to patrol the beach during 2020, thereby freeing the patrol lifeguards of first responder medical intervention duties. These EMTs were equipped with the appropriate PPE to address medical issues while protecting themselves from the COVID contamination. The beach EMTs operated from June through September and responded to over 80 calls for assistance. The VCFD was the recipient of several grants in 2020, including for the second year in a row, the Lieutenant DiBardinero Memorial Foundation grant for personal firefighting safety systems. This second grant award of $12,000, we received $24,000 in total, allowed for the purchasing, training, and equipping of the entire department with a rescue harness, bailout rope, and accessory gear for personal self-rescue in the event of entrapment on upper floors. If this type of system and training was available in 1972, it is possible that the line of duty death of firefighter Ken Whalen could have been avoided. The VCFD takes great pride in the effort put forth by the grant committee, the training cadre, and the membership in completing this accomplishment. It was all done by members off duty or for comp time for those that came in as instructors. The VCFD was also awarded by the Wawa Corporation a first responder safety grant in the amount of $15,000. This grant is being used to further the fire safety education program that is promoted by our Fire Prevention Bureau. The Bureau has purchased age-appropriate educational and safety items for preschoolers to seniors. This grant has allowed the department to also purchase a mobile office tent setup to take the message of fire safety into the field at all city events. The fire department and city were recognized by the Department of Defense as patriotic employers due to our commitment and support of our employees that also serve in the U.S. military. 2020, while a troubling year to say the least, was a positive year for the VCFD with a new station, a new Quinn apparatus, new firefighters coming on board, and continuing progress toward addressing the needs of the community. The department has made great many strides forward in the past year, but none is as big or as important as our actions and conduct throughout this year of pandemic fear and uncertainty. I'm most proud of how the department has worked tirelessly to maintain our pandemic education, our planning, and our response development, and the overcoming of logistical issues, allowing the department to offer the finest services possible to our taxpayers and guests in the city. The VCFD has never faltered in our service, even at great personal risk to health and potential issues to our families. I am a lucky man to be associated with such people. That is the end of my report.
Good, Michael. That was nice.
That was a great report. Mike, one quick question. We're keeping EMTs on the beach going forward, right?
I'm in the midst of speaking to the beach patrol officers about that. I believe we're working on how the budget's going to work for that.
Okay.
We have all the equipment to train, all the equipment to equip them. We have all the programs in place to train them. It'll just depend on how the budget works for the beach patrol. It will be scaled down though, now that the pandemic is somewhat under, I wouldn't say under control, but it is somewhat more addressable. Manageable.
Yeah.
It is manageable. And we can probably do it with one EMT on the beach per day, instead of the two we had all season last year.
Right.
I believe that's what the Beach Patrol wants. I haven't spoken to Chief Bergman about it. I've only spoken to the Beach Patrol captain, Captain Funk.
I know we did it because of COVID. I just think it's a nice added service to the residents and the guests.
I think it speeds up a lot of things, and it reduces the need to take lifeguards from looking at the water to deal with minor things, and taking fire apparatus and ambulances out of service to do the same. I think it's a nice little stopgap between the two agencies.
Right, I agree. I mean, I know, like I said, we did it because of COVID, but I think it's something if we can manage it to continue doing it, even if we have to scale back a little bit.
I absolutely agree, Mayor.
Well, I think that was a great report. And you're lucky to work with that crew, but they are lucky and blessed to have you as the chief. That's for damn sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I know you don't like when I compliment you. I like when I compliment you in public because you got to behave.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
should we move on to Chief Biagi?
Hi, how's everybody doing? I'm going to try and get through this because I have three different departments I like to at least give credit to. So the first, of course, will be IT. I've given every one of you a copy of IT's accomplishments, and it has been a very unique year for information technologies, keeping up with having to have employees work at home. Jim had gotten pretty much everybody set up so we can pretty much operate at home now in the event we have a similar type of situation that requires working from home. As much as we can, I think we're there. Along with that went a lot of security and infrastructure changes within our department, as well as the doors, the cameras which are being put in. That's a never-ending project, as well as the work that was done on the pier with those incredible cameras that were put up there. Email security, firewall security, you name it. That's pretty much something that's done every day with him. And the accomplishments, probably a lot of them I shouldn't even read because a lot of them deals with security. But we were able to switch over to virtual meetings fairly quick in the game. That was not a big issue for Vetner. So, and we're still using it to this day, and we've pretty much ironed out all of the bugs. I think the biggest thing that I could say about IT was acquiring Jim, and Jim making the transition to police related stuff. Sometimes it's a totally different world. He's done it wonderful. Kudos to Lieutenant Lou Cabo. They work together. So IT should be a harmonious thing between all the city departments, and we're getting there. And so I'm really happy for that. Moving on to OEM and special events. Again, we know what kind of year we had, but I believe in spite of it, first, if you hear the numbers, they're pretty amazing. OEM, 25 responses. Now, you know, that's for basic. That could be for a fire, a gas leak, anything catastrophic, families being displaced. So we've had 25 responses, 10 notifications. In spite of everything that happened this year, we had 38 special events. And this year is going to be incredible with what they have planned. 32 code blue alerts. Of course, that is the freezing alert where we had to notify and we had to keep an eye out for homeless. We had 390 code red messages. 390 times that were. Now you may say that's 300 more than we needed. Again, that is it's a relative thing because most of the people love it all the time. Some of the people don't love it half the time. And a few may love it a few of the time, but it's one of those things where it's necessary from our end to keep maintain that communication. So we utilize it. You can choose to block it in the future. You can, you know, but I think for now, it's one of the best things we have going for us is the code red. To give this year a kind of a chilling ending is 362 positive COVID notifications. Just let that sink in, because I know when this whole thing started, we felt blessed. We felt like, hey, Ventnor's going to skate and things happen. And we go from worrying about whether we can surf or walk on our boardwalk to, oh my God, this is happening. It's affected Ventnor. And I think that first COVID that we got made it real for everybody. And as we move on, we find out that probably every one of us that's listening to this was affected by the COVID. They either lost somebody, knew somebody, one way or another. It was a struggle that we were all facing. So I'm going to lead into the numbers with our police department. First, it wouldn't be right if I didn't recognize that Ted Bergman Jr., Detective Sergeant, retired in September after 25 years of service. Any police officer that makes it 25 years deserves to retire in his glory, and he's choosing Ventnor to retire in, and he was a phenomenal officer working his way up through the ranks. So I wasn't able to, for whatever reason, wish him a happy send-off, but Teddy deserves it, as do all of our officers that retire. So thank you for that, Detective Sergeant Bergman. Now, moving on, 2020 was definitely a unique year. We had to change our game real quick and on the fly a lot of times. We took direction from CDC, which filtered down to the state, which filtered down to the county, which filtered to us. And it was tough because we were dealing with a lot of things. It was a presidential election year. It was masked versus no mask. And this was just in the beginning. And we were facing this. We were facing problems with neighbors that never had an issue with anybody all of a sudden. Because they weren't able to talk to them, they weren't able to settle a lot of these issues that neighbors would normally settle. This had such an effect on Ventnor and its citizens. It was amazing where we went from having conversations to being afraid to even talk to a person. And that's where it was kind of tough for the police department, because you know my style of enforcement is really a community policing based sort of thing. So when COVID hit us, we went from being a very up close and personal police department to having to distance ourselves. And where we used to spend a lot more time on scene, trying to really calm it down and get it going in the right direction, it was more like we had to back off a little bit and conversation was not as abundant as it used to be. So it was a learning curve for all of us to go through during this. The other thing we faced, which none of us were ready for, was the exodus, which normally occurs after the new year. We were hit with our summer crowd in March, and it didn't stop. And I would say from March on, it created an intense increase on our public services. But what was good was what we do in the summer, we can do anytime. And I believe police, fire, public works, everybody, I think we figured that out real quick, was that Ventnor was a safe haven for not only its citizens, but its secondary homeowners that they call home as well. And I kind of had a different take on this. It was like, are we going to be able to do it? are we going to be able to handle the onslaught? And there was a lot of, I don't want to say name calling, but just a lot of back and forth banter. And the fact is, when we're at our highest population in the summer, which is maybe 30,000, if our summer was to extend and we became a true shore town and we were just packed like Florida all year round, we could handle it. We have the resources here and we have the government backing. So when that happened, I think it was a good test for Vetner that we can handle the people that we handle just 100 days in the summer. And that's a compliment, not only to myself and the people under me, but everybody that worked for the city. We were working with a summer crowd in the time where we were normally not affected at all. So that was huge. And we kind of did it without a hitch. Departments worked together like we always do. But we understood the importance of each other and it was no issues. I want to say that we really handled ourselves. However, this summer we were hit with two back-to-back incidents. And I wish I could really talk about them in length, but I can't. But we do realize that we had a horrible drowning after hours in closed beaches. And that was probably one of those epiphanies in your life where you kind of see how big one person's life is. And everybody on the boardwalk and everybody being unified was an amazing sight during such a tragic thing. And that can't be understated. Because the lifeguards from our city, other cities, the firemen, my officers entering the water, it was just amazing to see what you know we do or can do when we actually do it. And again, the Coast Guard flying in was just something out of the movies. And then we had the officer-involved shooting in Atlantic City on Wellington Avenue. And the less I say, the better. But the manner in which the community and outlying communities and the citizens, regardless of where you stand on issues, showed how mature we can be. And the fact is that we did not see what could have happened in other towns when similar incidents occurred, where you sit back and think and wait for the video and wait for things to come out before you rush to judgment. And I want to just say publicly that the officers that not only from the drowning, but the officers involved in the incident on Wellington Avenue did a phenomenal job in the way they handled themselves. So, and not only that, but the city government and outlying departments in their assistance and backing us up when we needed it. Margate and Longport has come to our aid, as well as Atlantic City, numerous times when these incidents have happened, and they've backed our officers up. A unique thing that happened this year was probably the collateral damage that occurred from the officers that we went out of duty, that we went out on workman's comp following the incident. We lost five guys, which was a shift, basically. We immediately, before we even had a chance to do the paperwork, the PBA and administration was getting together, and they worked out within minutes that we were going to have to go back from a 12-hour shift to an 8-hour shift. And within a week, we had that worked out. That doesn't get done on the fly on any good day. But when you have unity, when you have conversation and you have the support of not only your union, but your administration and my administration, which are you people behind us, that makes it a hell of a lot easier on me. And we made that work. Now we couldn't avoid what would happen. We were bound to get some COVID sicknesses. And in December, we got struck down with 12, basically within a 10-day period. The officers that were remaining worked incredibly hard. The officers that were out with COVID wanted to come back and help, and they knew they couldn't because of the standard. But when they say in time of, you really don't know until you really need them, how well put together and how mature and how responsible they can be. And our officers stepped up to the plate as without even batting an eye, they knew what had to be done. So as a leader, as a police officer, as a citizen of Vetner, you can't ask for more from your police, your fire,
and your public works. So I will end it with that and just say that moving forward, probably the best thing that happened in the last year was communicating with the administration and you understanding that it takes a year for an officer from point A to point Z to be effective. What we've done now is we've utilized the ability, once an officer puts in for retirement, we start doing the background check. So we're ready when that officer walks out the door with a replacement. That's because of you. That's because of our commissioners, our mayor, Maria Mento, Al Stanley, our CFO. This is a ballet of work that needs to be done, looking ahead, seeing if we have the money, can we afford it? And somehow we've made it work. And that's pretty awesome. I don't have a whole lot of negative to say, which is going to lead me to our final numbers, which is really kind of the best part. There'll be some sarcasm here. So just if you want to, you know, cover the children's eyes or ears or whatever, I will call out some things that are noticeable here. But the facts are here. During the year of 2020, there were 17,605 calls for service by the Ventnor City Police Department. That means with all the officers that responded, we had 27,000 physical responses by officers. 17,000 calls, 27,000 responses. In 2019, we had 17,000. We're always within about 200, give or take. We're usually in that set late 17, early 18,000, which is pretty steady no matter what kind of year we have. When we have irregular years or disasters or catastrophic events, they really are just one event. It doesn't throw the stats one way or another. But I think you'll be happy with what's occurred this year. There was a 29% decrease in the total amount of crimes reported in 2020 compared to 2019. And the crimes that were reported in 2020 were 325, while there were 457 reported in 2019. 2020 had, like I said, more calls, but less real crime. So here's what we had, total crimes by numbers. We didn't have any murders, which is always a good thing. So we had, for the last 2 years, we've been at zero. Sexual assaults went down from 4 to 1. Robberies increased slightly from 2 to 3. Aggravated assaults committed increased from 9 to 11. Simple assaults decreased from 78 to 55. Burglaries decreased from 66 to 34. And here's the one where I'm going to be a little snarky, so just be prepared. Burglaries to cars. I hope everybody's listening. Increased from, 128. There were 118 last year. Now, last year, we got crushed, and we warned everybody. What did we tell everybody? Hey, Commissioner Kriebel, what do we tell everybody to do? Please.
Lock your doors.
Hey, guess what? All the vehicles that were broken into were left unlocked. And not only that, people leave them unlocked, and for some reason, they still leave valuables in them. Money, car keys. I'll get to that in a minute. Car keys, laptops, passports.
Wow.
I don't know how to get this out there anymore, but so I'm not going to, because whenever I say you can't fix, you know what, I get in trouble. So I'm not going to say that. However, I would say that these vehicles would not have been broken into if they were locked. Because you know how many locked vehicles we had where we got broken into?
Zero.
Mayor, that's why you're in finance. Yeah. Now, of course, we had some vandalism. We had a window broken on one car that they tried to throw into. Our car was broken into. No. That was just, you know, some angry person throwing a rock through your window or whatever. But the truth is, crime prevention is real. We had 128 cars that were broken into because people left them unlocked.
So I was correct.
You were. Larceny, which is basic theft, decreased from 782 to 216. Motor vehicle thefts decreased from 16 to 5. You know what that tells me? It tells me that people are still leaving their cars unlocked, but they're not leaving their keys in them. Well, baby steps. I'm taking baby steps here, and I will take anything I can get. Arsons remained the same at zero, which was good. Shoplifting complaints decreased from 54 to 45. Now, there were still 356 adult arrests, 29 juvenile arrests, 1,350 moving violations issued and 3,686 parking violations. So I don't have stuff. We're not given awards by the military or something like the fire department. People love the fire department. What we got was
understandable, though.
Michael, just this is my time. I did not, you know, it's the Oscars. Until the music plays, I'm going to talk. Okay? But I'm going to do a sidebar. We are now equipped with not only boots, rescue vests for my officers, and other water rescue things that we're going to be trained for prior to the summer because of Chief Cahill. He knows the importance of not only staffing his own men with those boots and stuff like that, but because he knows that my guys are going to be there first. And if there is a chance at rescue, he's going to give us a fair shot at it. So thank you, Mike, for working through that. So we have an unbelievable relationship, it's nice when people feel the same about the town and the people and the visitors, and we have a staff or administration that works well with us. So again, that's just a compliment to everybody involved. Let's see, on a brighter note, I got to throw kudos out there to everybody that donated, whether it was food or meals or scarves or teddy bears for kids that may be displaced or anything, or little girls from Egg Harbor Township that made us little bags for all my officers, snack bags. The merchants, the citizens, the operators of restaurants who weren't making a dime this year still had time to feed us on certain occasions. And so did the merchants and the professionals. And I know, Mike, you've got some of that too. On behalf of the police and fire department, you have no idea how much it means to us emotionally to receive from the people, the merchants, sometimes people we don't even know, just saying, hey, thanks, you know, keep up the good fun, keep up the good work. So we do have an amazing city and an amazing linked connection of personalities that come together in time of need. So, I mean, we're living a dream here. I mean, for a year that was as crazy as it was, we got through it. We're here, and I don't have a whole lot of negative to say. We did what we had to do. Our officers did what they had to do. You guys did what you had to do. It wasn't always popular, as we know, but here we are. We're talking about it a year later, and I couldn't be prouder of the men and women that work beneath me, my administrative staff, my secretaries, my OEM, my IT guy, my crossing guards, my parking violations guys, my commissioner, my CFO, and of course my business administrator. You guys rock. You make it easy for us to be leaders and to help our citizens. So that is the end of my report. I don't have a whole lot more. I could talk for hours, but you know, when I'm talking about Ventnor, I just love this place. Looking to the future, you've already noticed that a lot of the troubled areas are going to be getting a facelift with stop signs that have the LED lights around them. They're solar. They're not offensive. They're not overly bright. We've already started putting them out with the assistance of our public works and Kevin Cannon and Ed and Sully and everybody over there. So we got a good mojo going here, and let's keep it up. We're going to have a great summer. I feel it. And we're going to make it work. So, hey, I'm done, man. God bless everybody. God bless America.
Thank you, Chief. That was great. Are we ready to move on?
No, if anybody has any questions real quick, I'll take a few just because I'm feeling good. The first negative question, I will leave.
Hey, Chief, is the pool open yet?
It is not. We're getting close. The hot tub will be open before the pool.
Okay. Sounds good.
First six people, free entry. Last, yeah, you're going to have to fight for it. So good. It doesn't look like I have any questions, but I'm available if you need me.
Just to say thank you to your guys and Chief Cahill too. I mean, this was a year of all years, and you know, I don't see the inner workings like Commissioner Kriebel does of both your departments, but just from the public persona that both our fire department and our police department conducted themselves in, and the persona they put out to the public, we're safe here. We know everybody's here staying longer. And that was a big thing that you said. We handled it. And then you guys handled it. That goes a long way in my book to say, look, we're ready for whatever comes our way. We handled this pandemic. Yes, we had setbacks. We had losses in our community. But, you know, we have come through this pretty darn strong. And I think, you know, the officers on both fire department and police department were key to us being able to do that. So I thank you. My hat's off to both you guys and your departments, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. And everybody listening in, start visiting our restaurants and everything. I can't wait till that opens outdoor again. Amen, man. Everybody that was here last summer, I think, is going to be here this summer. I haven't heard of anybody closing, and they're getting ready for a good summer. And we got some great groups coming. I mean, just this, we're going to move forward, and it's going to be awesome this summer.
I want to piggyback on Commissioner Landgraf. I mean, as Chief Biagi said, I'm in finance, so I know both of you had a lot of staff out at times with COVID, and I just looked at the dollars and the, you know, besides worrying about them, I just thought about the overtime. But, you know, our inner circle knew how many staff, whether it was a full shift or Chief Cahill had a whole platoon out at one time, but this, your services to the residents, they never knew it. They never saw a lack of public safety services. So I have to tip my hat off to you guys and your crew.
Yeah, our crew. And again, it all falls back to the willingness of our officers. Even they were tired. It's been a tiring year for them. Everybody, you're tired. We're all tired. We know it. But they did it. And we all did it. I mean, everybody should pat themselves on the back that's here talking about it, because it was not any one individual. It was a collective, and that's the way it should be with a city. So kudos to everybody.
Yeah. I'm gonna just wrap that with that I do get a chance to see a lot of the crosstalk and the inner workings when there is an emergency, when there is, and 2020 just threw the kitchen sink at public safety. I mean, it was a pylon, one thing after another, and the quality that you two chiefs brought to the city does not happen by accident. It was because of your experience, and it was a pleasure to watch. So thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay. So are you going to, if you guys want to stay on, you can. Unless
okay. You still got that sense of humor. I'm going to leave now. Okay.
Love you, Doug.
I love you back.
Doug, there is one question in the discussion items.
Ah,
you and Chief Cahill and Ed Stinson may want to chime in on.
Okay. Oh, all right. Thanks, Killjoy.
So close.
Oh, he just pulled a McGuire.
By the way, Doug, impressive that was.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll go. We'll move on. We will not have any minutes to approve this meeting. We do not have any ordinances to introduce. We will have a public hearing on ordinance 2021-005. We discussed it at our last meeting, and that's on the parking meter zones, loading zones, angle parking, et cetera. It's amending and supplementing chapter 214, vehicles and traffic. We'll go with that, guys?
Yes.
Okay. Then we will have, one second, yes. Public hearing and adoption as well on ordinance 2021-002. And that is, and we discussed it last meeting. It's not canceling any projects. We're just funding things differently to protect the taxpayers' interest. So, and we got into the discussion last meeting on that. The next, we will have resolutions by consent. The first one is 2021-101, and that is amending resolution 039 of 2021. And all that is it's removing someone that had left the ad hoc committee. The next is 2021-102, and that's authorizing the Employee Assistance Program, EAP, services for the year of 2021 into 2022, and that is with the Behavioral Health Service with AtlantiCare. The next is 2021-013, and that's authorizing self-examination of the 2021 budget. Al Stanley, I know you're there. Can you just give us a quick snip on that?
The self-examination of the budget is basically, we don't have to get approval when we submit our budget from the state, that we're going to do it ourselves. We qualify for that because of our standing at fund balance at the end of the year, that when we submitted our AFS, and basically, if you meet all the criteria that's on the AFS, you could be do a self-exam, and that's what this is signifying, that, and we submit that when we do submit our budget.
Basically, because we're financially responsible, we're able to do this.
Correct. We meet all the, there's 10 criteria, and we meet all 10.
Great. Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, next is resolution 2021-104, and that's authorizing no parking during our block party coming up on May, and if I'm correct, it's Mother's Day weekend, correct? Okay. The next is 2021-105, and that's authorizing Atlanta County for, because that part of Ventnor Avenue is Atlanta County's, not the city, to close their part of the streets, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Correct. Next is 2021-106, and that's appointing Kristen McVeigh as our temporary deputy court administrator for Ventnor Court. I was in those interviews. It was tough. It was not only her, but another individual. Both would have been great, but there was something extra. So I look forward to bringing her on board in the courts.
We're bringing in one of the singers from Fleetwood Mac as our court thing?
No, stop it. Next is 2021-105. That's awarding a contract for advertising in the city of Ventnor for the art department Design Studio LLC. Commissioner Kriebel, you want to just give us a quick on that?
Sure. We basically used the previous advertising document that we created with a QPA last year that did not go forward. We asked three area public relations firms to bid on it. The local Ventnor art department was the only one that put forth a bid, basically blueprinting that existing already vetted program that would include different assets in the city. It takes a little bit of the burden of design off of the city. The city would still, we're starting with banners, but there would be other assets that we would be able to approve going forward, like the backs of lifeguard stands or backs of boats. And we're kind of left it open, just like we did in the past. We would get a revenue share. In this case, we would get 40% of the gross revenues, which is dollars that we would have never gotten. And I feel confident with conversations that they can create a program that would beautify all the different areas of the city in a way without making it look like too much advertising. So we're minimizing the advertising, still giving businesses local chance to advertise and still beautify the city.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, the next is 2021-108, and this is a resolution authorizing us to purchase a pumper and a warrior. What is that word, Chief Cahill?
Chassis.
It's just the name of the cab they put on it. It's a fire engine is what it is.
Okay. And this was already approved in our general capital, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this is just going through, it's coming to fruition. It's nothing extra.
We're looking to replace an engine that was purchased in 1993 before I was even with the department and is suffering some growing pains as it ages.
We're also getting in before a price increase.
Yeah, right. if we didn't get this in now, the price goes up 3% on the 15th of March.
Great. Thank you for being proactive with that.
When I got that, I let the commissioner know and let him know the best move I thought, and you guys jumped right on board, so we got this done rapidly. I appreciate that.
Perfect. Okay. Then we will have our approval of our bills and payrolls. And now we are at the discussion items part of our meeting. So we'll start with the first one. The first one is a revocable license, 6306 Atlantic Apple. Who wants to, Tim McGuire?
Sure.
Tim? Where are you at, Tim?
I'm here.
Hi, Tim.
Hello.
As you know, the voters approved plenary retail consumption lighters.
And this is the revocable license.
This is the revocable license, 6306 Atlantic Avenue.
This is the...
That would be Ed. That's not me.
That's Ed.
Ed, sorry. I got confused.
I can't see it on my screen.
Okay.
You got to scroll down, Jim.
Yeah, the discussion items are not listed, so.
Oh, okay. All right, sorry.
Yeah, this one's Ed. Ed, if you could give us a little brief of what's being requested here. And
okay. Yes, Mayor and Commissioners. Mr. Riley lives at the subject property, which is on the corner of Atlantic Avenue and Portland Avenue on the beach side of Atlantic Avenue. He's requesting a license to allow him to install a new fence within the right of way of both Portland and Atlantic in the area up to the sidewalk. So it's a 4-foot encroachment on Portland Avenue and I believe a 5-foot encroachment on Atlantic Avenue. Basically gives him more of a yard space along both the Atlantic Avenue and Portland Avenue side of his house. The request comes as a hardship request, and you'll see in my recommendation. I from an engineering perspective, I cannot come up with an engineering rationale that would meet the hardship criteria. It's the homeowner asking to have a bigger lawn, which I understand completely, but I don't feel that that's a hardship. So in my letter, I recommended that it not be approved because really once you do that, I'm concerned with the corner, the intersection as you're pulling out Portland Avenue to turn onto Atlantic. You have a site triangle issue with that fence if it were to be placed out to the sidewalk. Concerns with people walking along Atlantic Avenue sidewalk. You got the bike lane on Atlantic Avenue. And it would also it would feel as though you're narrowing that corridor as you're walking to and from the beach and the boardwalk. So that seems like very nice people, but again, from an engineer perspective, I couldn't agree that it's a hardship condition.
Without knowing all the details, as soon as you said 4 feet, 5 feet encroachment, I'm thinking, and then it's a corner property, I was visualizing not good.
So Mayor, what they're asking to do is to put a fence right at the edge of the sidewalk.
Yeah. Right,
that is outside of their property. It's in our right. property.
Yeah, now.
I went out there today. It's in my neighborhood, really, but I went out there today and looked at it. None of the other properties have anything along Atlantic or Portland similar to this.
You need that line of sight too for the way people turn. You just need that. You can't have that.
Yeah.
No. I'm really not comfortable. Even though it's a lower fence, it's still, if you're sitting in your car, you're still, it's problematic to me. And it's, yeah, you know, I agree with Mr. Stinson. I don't think this is a hardship. And in my world, I look at hardship variances and certainly doesn't come to that criteria, but I just don't see any solid reasons for doing this. And look, I get it. I read their application. I went out there and looked at what they've done to the property since they purchased it. And it's night and day. Chief, if you remember the property, it had that.
It truly is. But they can't do it at the expense of safety, though. I think it's.
Agreed. Agreed.
I think it's a dangerous precedent to set.
Yeah. They had a hedgerow that was right where they want to put this fence. And now it's nice, clean lawn. So I really can't support this one either.
I agree.
Now, can I just add to that something that you could possibly revisit it, and it may change things if it's Atlantic Avenue goes to a road diet. That's different. It may change the dynamics of that street and corners, but I don't know. But right now it's not possible.
Okay. I'm open to revisiting it, but
yeah, it also has there's no precedent on the street. It's something that would be completely different from every other
block, and that confuses drivers. It does. So
right. Okay. I go by Ed's expertise. So I'm good with it.
Okay.
Okay. So the next, who has the next one? The riparian grant application?
I think that's Mr. McGuire.
Okay.
And or Ed too.
Which brigantine guy wants to talk?
I will do that
one. All of them.
This involves property located at 6001 Winchester Avenue. Jim, could you actually put up the property with the red border shown? Perfect. And there's three or four separate issues that the governing body has to consider. Just to get yourself familiarized with the property, you see the red line, that is the property line. If you see the brown area bayward of that red line, that is an area we're going to discuss. The side along the property that's brown, we're going to discuss. And that street end, which is Derby Place, we're going to discuss. Scott Abbott represents the property owners. Scott has requested me to ask you if you'd be interested in doing the following. Number one, the brown area from that property line, the red property line, out to the bay is owned by the city of Ventnor. So the first question is, would the governing body be interested in selling that? You don't need to answer any of these questions tonight. Although Scott is anxious to move forward, that would be a simple yes or no. If the answer is no, then that pretty much ends the inquiry. If the answer is yes, then we go through the process as we've done before when we've sold other properties. The second thing Scott is asking is if we will give a letter to the state DEP, and I guess I should take a step back. The whole purpose that his client wants to do all this is he wants to put in a new bulkhead, which would be in conformity with current municipal standards. So the second thing Scott is asking is if we would send a letter to the DEP indicating we have no objection to the repair of the bulk or the replacement of the bulkhead in the water past where the right of way of Derby Place is.
But that's our property, correct, Tim?
That's disputed. But the state said that they would need a letter from us before they would authorize any permits. So we can consider it as yes. The third thing Scott asked, if you see, he wanted to know if we would vacate or be interested in vacating any portion of Derby Place adjacent to his client's property. That is why I wanted to keep the Chiefs and Ed on so that they can at least think, they don't have to give an answer tonight, about A, are there any pipes or other utilities that are in that area?
Sure.
B, how would that affect access by emergency vehicles? And C, if you look at this picture, you'll see there's cars are parked along there. If you actually vacate Derby Place, half of it would go to Scott's clients up to their property line. The other half would go to whoever's across the street. So he wanted me to ask you these questions. The purpose is to put in a new bulkhead. And obviously the purpose is also for his client to end up owning that portion where his property line is. So that's it in a nutshell. You don't need to answer tonight, but if you have any questions or comments, I'd be more than glad to answer them.
Tim, can I chime in for a second?
Absolutely.
So to the third question, we do have a storm sewer pipe that outfalls through the bulkhead at the street end of Derby. It's within the paved cartway. There is access, and I believe there's utility for that corner property, water and sewer. So I would have serious concerns.
I'm not interested in vacating the end of the street.
I would have concerns with that. The other question, I guess, Tim, maybe, is in lieu of selling the brown area that is the extension of the right-of-way of Derby that's contiguous with the DeFeo property, could we consider leasing that? And really, my thought is preserving the view corridor, you know, from that municipal street end. So protecting that the current owner or future owners of that property would never be able to construct anything in that area that they're requesting. And one way to do that is we give them a license so they can use it, mow it, recreate on there, but they can't construct or build anything that would block the view card. That's my two cents.
I like that idea, Ed.
That is good.
Jim, could you switch to the other, the blue hatched drawing? This is a picture of the property. You'll see the blue hatched area. That is the consent they need for the bulkhead along there. Ed, that's a very good idea. In fact, the city many years ago, before any of us, actually had already granted a license agreement. So I would have to see that license agreement and exactly what area that encompasses. But yes, certainly that is something I can talk to Scott about. And certainly your idea concerning some type of restriction so that there can't be any type of structures constructed that would block the view. That's something Scott and I did not discuss, but it's certainly something that I would bring up with him.
And if we can't do it by license, we can put a deed restriction on it. Another mechanism, if they need to own the property based on DEP's requirements or whatever, then there's another mechanism. There's another way to skin that cat, so to speak.
All right, that's fine. I just need to, I guess, get a general consensus as to responding to Scott and telling him generally yes or no, and then hopefully allowing us to work out the details. It already sounds like the answer to any vacation of the actual paved street would be no.
All right. There's too many utilities, there's access issues. And
all right. And how about the sale of the property and any license agreement and any written permission, basically, to go ahead and start to replace the bulkhead?
I think we're good with that. I'm good with that.
The sale or lease?
One or the other.
Or how about just permission to do the bulkhead? Why do we have to do everything? I mean, don't they just want right now to get the bulkhead done? Why don't we start with that and see where it goes?
Well, here's why. If you look at what's on the screen now, see to the left, the triangular area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why would we want to own that? In other words, why not sell that? If you have a barbecue or people out there playing sports or whatever, why do we want them crossing over to our land? That to me makes total sense to sell that to them and allow them to have that.
So I guess a wall is out of it, out of the nothing.
No, Jim, actually only to the blue hatched line.
So
what is the actual square footage? That's what is that though? How big is that plot of land right there that looks so small?
It is small and it hasn't been surveyed. I don't have the exact dimensions.
No, go back up. So from the.
That's different than that.
From the straight line, bottom left-hand corner, the blue hatched. And then that there's sort of like along that N70 degree, 47 degree, right?
Right. It would be like a triangle with the blue hat area being the base of the triangle.
Right.
Tim, can I? I mean, they want to do a bulkhead. That doesn't affect that blue area, whether we sell it, lease it, or nothing. We do nothing.
They want to bulkhead that too.
They want to
all that wrapping around to our bulkhead at Derby Avenue.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly right.
So I think we go back to Scott saying, yes, we're amenable to one option A or B. We're not sure where we are yet, but we're certainly amenable. Option three, we're not interested in vacating portion of Derby. And I'm putting this out there for Beth and Tim. This is what I would be amenable to, is to go back to Mr. Abbott and say, look, we're okay with a couple of these options. We might have some conditions, and then we're okay. And if we can do it by a sale and we get some income there, it won't be a lot, but it'll be something. You know, it'll be assessed based on the land value of that property based on the square footage. And then if we can deed restrict it, at least deed restrict the view corridor going down the extended right of way of Derby is where I would be interested in having no structures. I don't want to see a gazebo put out on that corner and then block everybody's view from Derby going out towards the bay and inside thoroughfare.
Excuse me, I have one thing.
Yep.
When and if whatever plan is accepted by the commission, we'll have to address how they're going to park on there. Because on the one side, they've always parked diagonally because nobody's ever parked on the DeFeo side that way. But the other property is always parked diagonally in there to squeeze as many cars in. And there's actually a fire hydrant right in front of that house.
We are constantly struggling with that. So you know what we'll do? Mike, we'll hit him up early with a note from a dual note from police fire, where they can and can't park.
Maybe just paint the triangle right where it is. But it's not so much where the hydrant's located. If they park diagonal and the other side parks parallel, we'll never get a ladder down that. And that's a very large wood frame structure.
You're right.
Yeah.
But even look at how that car is parked out past the
– Oh, yeah.
It's past the perpendicular part of the – so we can't have that. So we'll have to line that so they can't park past – a sidewalk, so cars can make a wide turn or trucks can make a wide turn. All right, cool.
So Beth and Tim, are you in concurrence with what Lance recommended?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see any future use of that sliver of property. And I agree with Lance that if we can continue to keep the sight line for the street, that's really the best that we can offer or really get out of the transaction.
And just a large grass lawn in the back. It's very open. It's real pretty property.
Yeah, it's always been one of my favorite houses. Both of those houses, you know, the Derby Hall is a classic.
The old yacht club.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, I know Scott, his most important issue was giving him permission or giving his client permission to go ahead and start the permitting process in that disputed area, which the DEP needs a letter from us. So what are your thoughts as far as me writing that letter indicating that we have no objection?
I have no issue with that. I have no issue with that. I'll get the bulkhead built.
Yeah, the bulkhead's a plus for that whole neighborhood. And as long as the deed restriction's clear, yeah. Or the intention of a deed restriction.
Ed, what are we currently at elevation 8?
I believe it's 9.
9, okay.
Yeah, it's 8 on the new data, 10.
So whatever on the new data, okay. So whatever it is, he's going to have to raise that bulkhead. I don't know what the condition of it is now.
Right.
All right, that's it.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you, two chiefs and Ed. Sorry to see you later.
That's all good. Have a good day, everybody.
You too.
So the next one, Tim, do you want to, we're going to talk about our last liquor license.
Yeah, that's fairly simple. As you know, the voters authorized plenary retail consumption licenses in the, and by the way, thank you, Jim P. Excellent.
Thank you.
In the city of Ventnor. Two of them have already been sold. this would be a resolution if you are in favor of the same, authorizing the sale of the third and final license. The process is similar to the process we used for the previous two licenses. The minimum bid threshold set forth in this resolution would be $115,000. This resolution would be different than the others in that it encourages the license holder to have a license for an outdoor area contiguous to an indoor area that they owned. It would not be limited only to that type of establishment to bid, but it encourages that type of establishment. The reason you're getting it now is if you are in favor of proceeding with the process, Lisa and I wanted to get it to you so the process can begin and the license could actually be put to sale so that whoever the successful bidder is would be able to own it prior to the start of the summer season.
Tim, I have one question. Mm-hmm. When you say encourage, what if, let's say, make it simple, two bids come in. One puts a bid in and they're going to do the outside continuous and to an indoor establishment. And the other one does not do that. But the one that does not do what we're encouraging is the higher bidder. Where do we fall there?
Higher bidder always wins.
So it doesn't matter.
Well, it only matters if there's a tie bid.
Okay. I got you. So that little caveat in there would only come into play if it was a tie bid.
Well, right. We wanted to put that in there to encourage that.
Okay.
To make sure that all the restaurant owners knew that that's something that's certainly encouraged by the city. But at the end of the day, the high bidder wins.
But, and the other thing is, I mean, I know we did, we allowed a lot more outdoor seating last year because of COVID and a lot of people like it. So I don't know what our plans are going forward this summer and thereafter, but that's our property, whether it's a street or the sidewalk, that is not,
not part of this.
And that's not what, yeah, exactly. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. They can't.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's property they own, not city property that we allow them to extend out service.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I got you. I knew that. I'm saying I don't want people putting a bid in thinking that, on the city, whether it's the sidewalk, a street, whatever the hell it is, parking lot, that they're falling into that category.
Yeah, that's actually an excellent point. City owned right away or city owned street, that doesn't fit the definition.
Exactly. That's why I think it's important, because people may put bids in thinking that they can do what we're encouraging, it's not their property.
Right. So how Tim worded it, Mayor, is in item 10. I'm not going to read the entire paragraph, but at the last sentence, the last portion said economic environment of the city of Ventnor. And for other reasons, operating restaurants which have outdoor seating on contiguous private property
are
encouraged to submit bids. So
thank you.
And this goes to, not only that we desire it, that it was a good thing to have people being outside, it's also an economic thing. If we get stuck, pushed back into, God forbid, more of a pandemic issue again, we're just coming out of this or starting to come out of it. We want to be able to protect our investment in these liquor licenses and the purchaser's investment in the liquor license, that they are set up that they can make it through again. The businesses that did the best had outdoor space. And that's something, look, if I could make this stronger, I would. And I'll ask that question. Can we make it a requirement that they have a component of outdoor space, dining and use?
You get into a very iffy area if you do that, because basically what you're doing is you're limiting the bids to, and I don't even know how many properties in Ventnor that are in zones would qualify. Certainly, correct. If that limited it to one bidder, you could not do it. Even if it limited to a couple, I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay. And you had told me that. I just want to make it clear.
Okay.
I have one question. If this does do this the same clarifications that we had on the previous licenses, like that a restaurant, the hours, the restaurant that has to be operating, and that if they're within a year, if it's a new operator, those things are all in place, correct?
They're all in place, Tim. They're all contained in our ordinances, and I'm pretty sure section 21 indicates that it's a plenary retail consumption license, no takeout. They have to follow all the other ordinances. All those other restrictions would apply. Has to be in a restaurant, etc.
Okay.
In fact, in previous resolutions, I put that it had to be in a restaurant or someone had to have a plan to open within 24 months, if you remember.
Yes.
Yeah. That 24-month requirement is not in this resolution. So it will be for open ongoing restaurants.
Or, is it only for open restaurants? It could be for either, correct?
No. It the way this is written, it is not for restaurants that are going to open within the next, when I say open, I mean they don't exist and they're going to be constructed and open within the next 24 months. When we first did that, we allowed this to see if it would encourage anyone to come in and build a new restaurant. Now that we're on this third license, the to be built requirement was taken out, and it is limited to simply restaurants that are existing. And when I say open, I don't mean if they're closed for the winter. I mean open. Right.
I'm not sure why we're limiting ourselves that way.
Well, we don't have to. We can change it. We can put that back in if you want.
Yeah, but if we put something like that back in, they would have to. I don't want somebody holding on to it. So, I mean, you could say you have to build something, but they could say, I mean, what property do they have property? Did they buy property already? And what's their plans?
Well, that's already covered in our previous the 24 month. That's the way we right. sold the first two licenses. I'm just saying, why would we limit our potential market to only open restaurants? And if there's another company that would want to do what we've already done twice, why would we limit it? Why would we ignore? Why would we close off what could be half of, someone that would want to build a building or doesn't have a restaurant and repurpose a building?
The only reason is
it doesn't seem fair to me.
Well, the only reason we did that, Tim, is because the other two, no one came in and built a new restaurant, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, both.
Both.
Both? Oh, all right.
Yeah. Santucci's in the movie theater.
And we purposely built in, to answer your question, Mayor, we purposely built in a time constraint, so it could not be held in pocket for years and gain in value in some way.
Right. Okay. So
they had to have show intention of being open within 24 months. And I think that should be back in. I don't think it's fair to somebody who was willing to take another gamble like Santucci's or the theater on a large project.
That we'll put that back in.
Okay. And we'll have a resolution for our next meeting for this.
Do you want us to authorize this to go forward?
I do, Commissioners. I have
to talk to Lisa, but it will either be the next meeting or at the latest the following meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Tim, you're okay with that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good. All right. And the last discussion item is electronic smoking device establishments.
So I may be able to keep this short.
Okay.
I was asked to do this months ago. There was a delay on my part in getting this ordinance over to you folks. Once I did get it to you folks, I was under the impression that it wasn't going to be put on the agenda, and the general thought was not to go forward with such an ordinance. It has now ended up back on the agenda. I'm not sure how it's ended up on the agenda, but it's there. So if it's there in error, then that's all you have to do is tell me that. I'm sorry, not on the agenda as a discussion item. Or if you want to move forward, let me know and I will try to explain to you some of the basics that are contained in this ordinance.
Right. My concern, Tim, when it was on, I think last month, and I said, pull it, is because I needed an explanation. My concern is, what I understood was that we were going to charge, they would have to get a specific license to be able to sell the electronic smoking devices. And we don't do that for the establishments that sell cigarettes. So, you know, you have Pathmark, you have Wawa, maybe Dollar General. I think they sell them. So my concern is, why would we do a resolution or an ordinance where we charge businesses to get us a license to sell something when we don't do a separate license for them to sell cigarettes? I need to understand that. I really do need to understand that.
That's a great question. The ordinance was produced because there was a sentiment to try to get somewhat of a handle or control on certain establishments. I won't say all establishments, but certain establishments that sold vaping products. You do not have to charge them for getting a license, but obviously you should get them to have a license. And since you can charge for having them get a license, I thought it was reasonable to put that in there for the people that sell the vaping products. It would be $100 for an shop. Like if you got to drive around and see a Gorilla Vapes, something like that.
Right.
That would be $1,000, but in a way that doesn't really apply because those would be prohibited.
Right. So it brings me back to, like I said, this can put places like Acme and Wawa, two of our big merchants, in a position where they're going to have to go through something else. Not that I care what other cities are doing, but no other city's doing it. But like I said, we don't govern who's selling cigarettes. It's like, this makes no sense to me. It really doesn't.
And that's why it's on for discussion. You guys may say, no, that doesn't make sense. We don't do it for cigarettes. We shouldn't do it for vaping products.
Exactly. That's my concern.
I disagree. I completely disagree. The manufacturers of these, whatever you want to call them, the vaping devices, have added flavors to these things that encourage kids to use them.
Lance, they can't, the flavors have been banned from New Jersey for over since last March.
I think we should do everything we can to stop kids from smoking.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you cannot have any flavored items in the state of New Jersey. The governor passed that executive order a year ago. When you go into, if you go into Gorilla Vape, all you can get is the oil with nicotine. You have to get your flavor to add out of Pennsylvania. And all those individual devices that are being sold cannot have any flavor in them. That's under the state. That's a state law. That's been in effect since last.
If we can do anything that will discourage any use of these things by kids, I'm in favor of it.
But we're not discouraging. How are we discouraging kids? First of all, kids should be able to get them. They should be IDing them. Second of all,
enables us to add another level of penalty to it, then I think we should do it.
I totally disagree. If we're going to do that, cigarettes. Okay. They don't have flavors, but you have menthol, you have regular, you have liquor stores selling liquor. I mean, we don't want kids to drink underage. We don't want kids to smoke. We don't want kids.
And there's penalties for that.
Exactly. But we don't govern a liquor store. ABC does. The food stores, they deal with higher levels of government of what they can sell, what they can't sell, and how they can sell it. So, and it's not that because I personally vape, but I just think this is overstretching because I feel that way. If we put it on the agenda, I can tell you right now, I would vote against it because you're singling out. And the other thing is, I mean, yes, we don't want the kids to do it. Do you have a lot of people that have quit smoking and they use the vape? And that has allowed them to quit smoking. So it's not affecting kids. You could be affecting a lot of adults. So, and like I said, okay, oh, you can't sell the electric vape in here, but you could sell cigarettes. That to me, I'm sorry. It sounds like an oxymoron. Oh, you can't sell vape, but you can sell liquor and you can sell cigarettes. And you can sell cigars.
Is that what this piece of legislation you're proposing is doing? Stopping them from selling vapes and Vendor? I don't think that's...
No, the cutoff age is 19.
19.
So anyone under 19, there would be a prohibition regarding sales. And in fact, there's even language that they can't even walk into the part of the store where the vapes are displayed.
Right,
but that's all. That's under the state, Tim. I mean, that's no different than cigarette sales. You see it when you go in the stores, you get ID'd.
So Lance, you're saying you want to sort of support that law locally by doubling it in a way. Lance is.
Guys, I'm on waiting to get into another meeting that I've got to get onto, but they're having trouble. So it's giving me some time. Okay. Obviously, this is a longer discussion than we can have tonight. Let's table it for now.
Okay.
Beth, you know my thoughts on smoking. I've lost family members.
I know, love. And I hear you. And I trust me. I see that.
And here's another thing. And again, we're going to push this to another time. But with the marijuana coming out, that's going to be in our state starting soon. We're going to have to talk about how we address some of that as well, but I'm concerned that they're going to be able to get maybe not the oils.
Right.
They're going to be able to get I don't know what you call them. The little.
The ones that they sell in those stores have a high nicotine. It when you get the oil, you can pick the level of nicotine. So those individual ones and the Juul that the kids were using. Yeah. They were dangerous.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I think we'll discuss it longer or a little more in detail. All right.
That's all I have.
Okay. All right. So we'll move on to the public portion for the people out in the public. This is the public portion where you can discuss or ask us questions on anything that we already discussed that we will be voting when we go into our regular meeting. So do I have a motion for the public portion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, Jim, anybody in the public out there want to speak?
Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak on any of the items that were discussed or are being voted on? Please make yourself known within Zoom by raising your hand or within the chat function and you will be recognized. No.
Do I have a motion to close public portion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Do I have a motion to close the workshop portion of the meeting and go into our regular meeting?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor? Aye. Okay, we do not have any minutes to approve. We do not have any ordinances to introduce this evening. We do have our first public hearing. That's on ordinance 2021-005. Do I have a motion to open to the public hearing?
Motion to open public hearing on ordinance 2021-005.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anybody from the public who wishes to speak or question ordinance 2021-005, please make yourself known within Zoom by raising your hand or within the chat function and you will be recognized. No.
Okay, do I have a motion to close public hearing on ordinance 2021-005?
Motion to close.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next, we have the adoption of ordinance 2021-005. Do I have a motion to adopt?
Motion to adopt ordinance 2021-005.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Mr. Kriebel?
Yes.
And Mr. Landgraf?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next, we have our public hearing on ordinance 2021-006. Do I have a motion to open to the public?
Motion to open ordinance 2021-006 to the public?
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, Jim?
Anybody from the public who wishes to speak or question on ordinance 2021-006, please make yourself known within Zoom by raising your hand or within the chat feature and you will be recognized. No.
Okay, do I have a motion to close the public hearing on ordinance 2021-006?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do I have a motion to adopt ordinance 2021-006?
Motion to adopt ordinance 2021-006.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Mr. Landgraf?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next, we will adopt resolutions 2021-101 through 2021-108 by consent. Do I have a motion to adopt these by consent?
Motion to adopt resolutions 2021-101 through 108 by consent.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes.
Have a comment here? That has to be the least number of resolutions that we've ever passed.
I agree.
it's a little baby list.
We're either getting real efficient or we missed a bunch of stuff.
It's not even a full page.
All right, don't jinx it, guys. Don't jinx it. Okay, next we can we have our bills and payroll, Al, from our CFO?
Yes, the list for this period is $527,767.59. And the payroll for this period is $600,823.17.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve bills and payroll stated from our CFO?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Do we have any announcements or safety reports tonight?
I think we heard from both of
Okay. I think you're right.
We had enough there.
Thank you. We have any commissioner comments or reports?
I've got a few.
Okay.
I got a couple.
Okay.
I'll be quick. Sorry. I just want to give everybody an update on what's going on out on Wellington Avenue. The part that they needed, as many people may have seen, arrived last night, or maybe early this morning. But they have they were installing that this afternoon. I went out and met with the guys from the ACUA, the site engineer and the project engineer, as well as the representatives from Lafayette Utility. And I got to say, these guys have really been doing a heck of a job. This was a mess. Anybody who was out there and saw it, it was an absolute mess. And the job that they've done maintaining it or cleaning up the area and getting this to a point where it is right now that they're going to have this valve, or this repair to the pipe in by 1 o'clock this morning. They're going to have this thing switched over back in the line by 1 a.m. this morning. That's the hope. So the bypass, they will leave the bypass in place until the line runs for a day or so, and then they will begin dismantling that bypass. Yeoman's work by these guys, the crew from, I'm going to
get the guys. Not
Lafayette, it's the other guys. It's the...
Garrison?
No, it's the guys doing the actual splicing of the pipe.
I'll be quiet.
One more time, Ed, three strikes, you're out.
So the machine they used tonight to put this pipe together was nothing short of amazing. Whoever invented this thing was a lot smarter than anybody in this room. So it was really a neat process to watch them do. They will be mechanically connecting those two parts together, like I said, now, and then flipping the switch to put the pump back through the main line. Probably, as we talked earlier, it's going to be a couple of weeks before they reopen Wellington Avenue. Because they've got to backfill these areas, you know, reconstruct those roadways, and then do what they got to do to make it safe for people to travel again. So it's going to be a little bit. So I feel for the residents out there. I feel for the residents that have to use that detour, but it's the best we've got going right now. Excuse me?
I said me.
Yeah. I come in that way often enough. So it's We're sorry you're being inconvenienced like that. We will do what we can to get this done as soon as possible. The county's been very helpful. ACUA has been very helpful. I think Ed's suggestion that we meet soon with all the parties involved, including RPD and Public Works and Ed himself, would be very helpful to getting a better feel on when this thing can be over with. And that's all on that. We had a good site meeting this morning with Ed and Marie and I talking about some things with the Army Corps. I won't go into the details on that, but suffice to say that we're moving forward with some additional drainage repairs to the back beach from Richards to the Margate border. We've got a good solution, we think, that we've proposed back to them, and we're waiting to hear from them in that regard. So good, and kudos to Ed on this. This has been his baby. You know, holding the Army Corps and the DEP's feet to the fire and you know, getting the best we can for our bang for our buck on what we're getting from the Army Corps and the beach replenishment and all that. So I think that's it.
Okay. Commissioner Kriebel?
No, I had a great, I just want to thank again the two chiefs. They're a pleasure to work with. They always keep me informed, I know. When things get busy, I monitor the radio and they always keep me informed, and I try to get you guys informed as soon as possible, but it's been a tough year, so yeah. Nice to hear they're looking back on it with positives.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to pass, because if I talk I want to need a break, and we're not going to break because we're almost done. So we'll move on to the last portion, is the public portion. This is to the public out there if they like to speak or ask any questions on any subject. Do I have a motion open to the public?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor? Aye.
It's just in the net out there, so.
Okay, then do I have a motion to close the public portion?
Well, Lynette should get a chance to ask a question.
She doesn't do it in the meetings. Do I have a motion to close the public portion?
So moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Because I have to go to the ladies' room, Commissioner Landgraf. Okay. We do not have an executive session, correct?
No executive session.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second the motion.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.
Meeting adjourned.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
You too. Bye.
Bye.